The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds open through Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I was preparing for this sermon, I made sure to read the chapter before the Beatitudes. And one of the things I found was Jesus was having a lot of problems during that time period. You know, not only was he having to teach to people who were feeling very oppressed and disenfranchised with their lives, but he was also healing a lot of people. He was getting a lot of flack from all of the religious leaders who had a bunch of rules for him to follow. Don't heal anybody on the Sabbath. Don't let your disciples eat on the Sabbath. They're not supposed to be picking grain off the stalks so that they can eat them. He was getting just tons and tons of flack. Now, I'm kind of wondering, how many of you have had those kind of periods in your life where no matter what you did, someone had a complaint? You know, you might have thought you were doing your best job, and they were still complaining. And I know when that happens to me, I just want to go crawl in my bed and say, okay, I'm just going to hide. I want to hide from the world. Well, Jesus kind of did something similar, but what he did was he went off into the hill country and he began praying. And the Bible passages said that he prayed all night long. So my guess is he was praying and he was pondering what was going on and how he was going to handle this. And on top of that, I'm a real believer that when you pray and ponder together, it usually leads to some clarity and to some insight. And that's what he did. And then the following day, what he did was he got his disciples together, and of all the disciples that were there, he picked out his 12 disciples. And when he did that, he went down to a flat place, and there was a whole throng of people around there waiting to hear him, waiting to be healed of their emotional and physical diseases, because they'd already heard the message of what Jesus could do. So they were there to get that help. Now, I am sure as Jesus was praying and pondering up in the hills, one of the things he realized is, you know what? This message that the religious leaders have been spreading to the people is not going to be anything like what I am going to tell them about. He knew it was different because, you know, the religious leaders, religion had become a very oppressive thing for people. There were a lot of rules to follow. In fact, there were probably so many rules you know, nobody could reach that limit and be that good. Now, you had your people who, they were kind of divided. It was like you had your holy people, or who tried to pretend they were as holy as they could get. So they had those people. They kind of had your middle-of-the-row sinners, okay? But then you had your people that they were just outcast. They didn't even count. So there were those kind of hierarchy of people going around. And the truth is, no one was able to follow those rules. And in doing the rules and being so strict about them, they forgot about the spirit of the law. And the spirit of the law was, God loves each and every person, no matter what their station in life. And that was a thing that so many times people didn't remember. They were so busy focusing on the rules that they didn't remember that the rules were based in love. So that's kind of where Jesus was when he was sitting on that level ground and he was ready to give his message to the people. And I'm sure a lot of people were surprised because they might have thought, well, those of us who are holy and not sinners, we're going to be the ones that he's going to bless. And that isn't at all what happened. Instead, he began with these blessings. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. Now, a lot of times when we look at this passage, we always think, oh, those blessings are coming when we go to heaven. And I'm sure they are. That's really great. But I think it also speaks to the changing nature of bad situations. We actually change. We may not always be poor. We may not always be sad and unhappy or having people hate us. Those things are not always going to be the case. There is a better day around the corner. And I think it's really important to remember that our earthly situations change. You know, Jesus understood the plight of the downtrodden, the forgotten, those who were grieving, and the outcast. In fact, so much of the gospel shows us how he actually sought out those very people for his message. He wanted them to know how much God loved them. But you know, he followed those blessings with a list of woes. Woe to you who are rich, for you received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and you will weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what the ancestors did to the false prophets. Again, many look at this text and it's a warning. Don't be too rich. Don't be too happy. And don't be too well thought of. We don't want to do that. But again, I think this is also the other flip side to the blessings. This can also change. You may not always have all those wonderful things. You know, Job, he did everything right, and he had everything he could ever want, and yet it was taken away. All of those good things and the bad things are transitory in our life. They're going to change, and we need to understand that. So what Jesus was pointing to is we need to look at what are the important things in life. What do we need to focus on? What are the true priorities in our life? He knew that true joy and happiness didn't come from those external things around us, how big our house was, or how much money we had, or how many friends we had. You know, that's kind of what the religious leaders were doing. They were presenting themselves as, you know, I've got everything, I know everything. They were probably pretty pious and pretty sanctimonious about stuff. But in reality, they were sitting and judging everyone around them, finding out every little mistake they made, because that helped them feel better about themselves, because if someone else was doing worse, then I am doing better. That is not true happiness. That is not what we need to be searching for. But you know, we do the same things nowadays, okay? We look at our neighbors, and we look at other people, and we think, and we judge ourselves based on them. I'm not that pretty, or you know what? I'm doing better financially. I'm doing better with my job, whatever. We look at those types of things. I was on Facebook the other day, and there was this picture of this lovely girl, and she had a hoop earring, a fairly small one, through her nose. I made the mistake of starting to read the comments, and I was mortified. There were so many vicious and hateful comments. I couldn't believe how bad they were. And the things that people said, not even knowing this person, that, you know, she was being led around like cattle. How could someone deface their body like that? On and on. And one person stood up and said, you know, I have a relative who has that type of jewelry too in her nose. And she is the most loving, caring, kind, generous person you'd ever want to meet. And you know, nobody ever responded to that and said, yeah, me too. They continued this onslaught. I finally had to get off Facebook and quit reading comments because I found myself yelling at my phone because I was so upset about it that people would do that. But how often is it that we judge people based on their external circumstances? What do they look like? What are, you know, do they have purple hair? Do they, whatever. You know, are we judging them based on those things rather than taking the time to look into their heart? Who are they really? You know, Jesus was really good about that. He was able to ignore all that external stuff, how dirty they were, how smelly they were, all those types of things, and he looked into their hearts. And I think that's something that we could all use a lot more of, because that's the important part of things. You know, even our children are learning to measure themselves by the actresses, by the stars on TV, or by the influencers of the day, and they're seeing unrealistic expectations that they're trying to meet. You know, there's no wonder we have right now in our lives a abundance of low self-esteem, depression, even to the point of suicides, because people do not feel like they can ever measure up. And the truth is, those types of things are all smoke and mirrors. They are, you know, Photoshop and all that kind of stuff. That's what that is. Those people that we see out there are no better and they're no worse than we are. And they are probably just as insecure as we can be as well. Because none of us is perfect. Nobody. And we all fall short of the glory of God. And it's so much easier to be able to see someone's tattoos, piercing, choice of clothes, color of their hair, if what we are doing is looking instead for their heart and what is in that heart. And in this gospel passage, Jesus ends it encouraging us to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse us, pray for those who abuse us, turn the other cheek, give our all to others. And he ends it with, do to others as you would have them do to you. Now that's the hardest part. I don't know about you, but when someone does something to me, my tendency is I want to get even. You know, I want them to hurt like they hurt me. You know, I want them to know what it feels like to be what they made me feel like. But that isn't the message that Jesus gave. That wasn't the big T truth. Big T truth was, you know what? You love them anyway. And that not only heals them, but it heals you if you can let go of that anger and come from a place of love. But the interesting thing is, as I was reading this, I thought about Jesus' trial and his crucifixion. And did he not live this message during the Passion? This is exactly what he did. with Pilate, with the people on the cross next to him. He lived this word for word, and that's exactly what he did during his ending. And you know, you might wonder, well, but isn't my money and my happiness, my great wife or husband, or my wonderful children, aren't those blessings? Well, they can be, or they cannot. The thing about these blessings, I call them counterfeit blessings, because the truth is, they may not always be there. They can change. So they're not a blessing we can depend on. They're a blessing we can be grateful for, but they're not something that's going to stay forever. You know, Jesus did not see himself as different from anyone. And he's probably the only person that ever could. If he was going to think different, that, hey, I'm a little better than that, it would have been him. But he didn't. He saw himself just like everyone else. He saw the light of God in each and every person. He looked past everything else, and he knew, this is a child of God. This is someone who God deems worthy. And no better, no worse, he is just as worthy to be loved. And Jesus presented these Beatitudes to the oppressed and disenfranchised people of his time who were searching and praying for healing of that oppression. They were the statements of hope for those people. But you know, we also live in a day and time when we have a lot of problems. There are wars going on. There's, you know, school shootings, there's religious violence, there's racial violence. We have exploding prices on every single thing we want to buy. You know, it's a time that we may feel a little insecure and not okay. We hunger for hope, and we hunger for healing, just like those people of Jesus' time. So the final message to be gained from this is we do have a constant blessing that will never change, that will never go away, and that is the blessing of God's love. He has never, ever, will never, ever leave us. He is always beside us, no matter what. No matter what our external circumstances are, whether they be good or bad, he stays with us. And that can relieve us of some of our stress because we know God is there no matter what. We are never alone. So that is our constant blessing. And he has a mighty purpose for us in that what he wants us to do, our purpose is to love others. You know, love in big ways. Love in small ways. Love on purpose. Love in front of everybody. Love in secret. But share his love with everyone. And when we feel, you know, I don't have it in me, I cannot love anymore, then pray to the one who can bring that love to you because his love never ends. He has an endless supply to share with all of us. And I think that part is important. One of my favorite statements is, if we knew who walked beside us, fear would be impossible. And I think that's so true. But we need to remember always who that partner who walks beside us is. Amen.